Verbs. And so let's go ahead and stand together. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 10. And this has been a helpful study for me on finances last week and this week. Biblical principles tonight. Like last week, we have a lot of scriptures on this subject. It's a biblical point of view. It's not me trying to read a verse and then try to explain to you why you should love money and be rich. It's not that. It's actually what the Bible says. And so I'm talking about the problems of poverty. The problems of poverty. Proverbs 10, I'm going to start at verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, and the fruit of the wicked is sin. I'm going to give you a lot of concepts that you probably never heard taught. Maybe I'm sure half the message, many of you have. But there would be a couple things here you probably never heard taught, and maybe it'll clarify the way we're supposed to think about money a little bit more. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the clarity of Scriptures, Lord, especially in Proverbs, we'll be mostly tonight. Lord, we pray that we would gain the wisdom we need to think like you think and to also act like you would have us to act and to handle money as we should handle it, Lord. We learned a lot last week, Lord, about money and why it is important and how we can give and how we can control it and how it controls us and how we're tested with it. I pray tonight, Lord, that we would understand the problems of poverty and what to do about it and how to think about it. And may thy Spirit speak to us in a great and powerful way, and just make us have both wisdom and understanding in these subjects, Lord. We need this. We need to think right, Lord. Our minds need renewed about money. We are always blasted with the wrong thinking about money. From one way or another, help us to see your thinking. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. To wealthy people, it says that their money is their strong tower. They run into it. People who have money, they eventually that becomes their security, that becomes their hope, and if their money gets destroyed, they're destroyed. It becomes their God. It's many times in the pursuit of money, you lose many things. You lose your spirituality. You lose your family. You lose a lot of things if you pursue wealth. That's why the Bible commands you to labor not to be rich. And so when you live for that and you love money, you get in a lot of trouble and you lose a lot of things. And eventually it doesn't satisfy you anyway. When your God is not satisfying you, you get very upset and miserable and hopeless when God's your money, because it buys you stuff for a while, but eventually you find the stuff isn't enough. We saw it this week with a famous rich person killing themselves. Okay, had everything, and Robin Williams, and he killed himself. And it's just the way, and that's not an isolated incident that all of a sudden some person with money killed themselves. But not everybody who has money does that, but money is their strong tower. That's why when stock markets have crashed, people have jumped out of buildings. Because why? It's their shelter. It's their security. And we like that. we in America, we're very compassionate toward the poor. And that's great. That's a good thing. And I like that. That's biblical. And there, I almost put it the whole section of this message, a passage on what happens when you help poor people. It's a whole sermon. I didn't put it in this message. There's a lot of verses I have in notes, but they won't be in tonight's message about helping poor people. And we do that. And you know, we do that. And we do all that stuff. However, poor is not a virtue. Okay. Poor is a situation. Okay. And I've been poor. The government says I'm poor still. I'm not poor now. But government standards are pretty high to me. To think that I'm poor to the government is funny to me. But I don't look poor. I need to look a little less poor. That would be a good thing with me if I lost a few pounds. But poor people have great needs, and they're a great opportunity. We love and have compassion, and we bring many poor people to church, and many of you are poor in American standards. Now, most of us aren't poor by historical nor world standards, but by American standards, many of us are lower middle class, lower class as far as financially and all those things. But the Bible says, it's interesting in this passage, it's not a virtuous thing here. It says, the rich man's wealth is a strong city. Ha ha ha, that's a bad thing. And the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Their poverty is their destruction. Boy, you don't hear that very often, do you? That's kind of interesting. That's what God says there. And there's no special way to interpret that. Now, I could take you to the weakness of their tower. I just picked a passage out. I'm not going to turn there. It's Psalm 52, 5 through 8. You can look it on your own. Basically, it's going to crumble, and it it's not going to last for them. But the poor's poverty destroys them. And I want to give you some thoughts on the problems of poverty and the good and bad and just what comes along with it. So first point is this. There are two types of poor people in the Bible. That is the vital thing to understand. Okay? Now, when I tell you this, there's two types of poor people. Everybody, in my experience with a lot of years of poor people, helping them and knowing them, with poor people, there are two types of people who will not think they're the first group. That is people who are in Bible college, or people who are starting a ministry and just started out, or two, drug addicts. Okay? They're the only ones who don't put themselves in the first group, even though many of them should not be in the first group. Okay? The first group, that statement is made, probably doesn't make sense until I explain it to you. The first group is the poor that walks in their integrity. Okay? Proverbs 19:1. The poor that walks in their integrity. Proverbs 19:1, better is the poor that walketh his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. You see this here, it's not really a bad thing. It says, better is the poor that walks in his integrity. He's fine. Than he that did all kinds of things. And we'll get to other verses. Proverbs, 20, where are we closest to? Let's get verse 20. Let's say Proverbs 19, look at verse 22. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Okay? And so we see that there. Proverbs 28. There is the poor that is poor in integrity. Okay? Proverbs 28 and verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness. So is it possible to be poor and walk in uprightness and integrity? Sure, it says that, okay? Better is the poor that walketh in uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Okay? It's better to be that way. And we can see that. And that's pretty clear. Let's look at Ecclesiastes, next book in the Bible. Ecclesiastes and chapter 4 and verse 13. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. There's a lot in that verse we won't get to. But you see that, okay? So the first poor people are, the first group of poor people are poor people who walk in their integrity. All right? Are they good? They're fine. They're good. They can be fine people. Okay? The Philippines. We just went to the Philippines. You'll go out in the countryside, you'll walk out there, and you will go out in the countryside, and you will find very hardworking people with their farms who are generous, who love God, who are very diligent, who work while the sun's up. They'll feed you the last of their food. They love God. They are godly people, and they're just in a situation where we would call them poor. Actually, I have a hard time calling them poor. They live in a shack. But their life is a good life. I mean, they walk out and pick out a coconut in the morning, and mangoes are growing in their trees and bananas, and it's a nice pace, and people are kind and love each other, but they're poor by our standards, okay? And they're skinny, and their house is not much, and they have bamboo houses, and they don't have a car, and they walk everywhere, and their clothes aren't much, and they're when the thrift stores can't sell their stuff, they ship into these third world countries, okay? And I understand that. However, or worldly speaking, they're poor. But they're walking in their integrity, and they're blessed, okay? That is the first group. Now, let me go back to my statement there. The only people who are in that group, everybody thinks they're in that group. Every poor person thinks, yeah, I'm a good person. I'm just poor because of circumstances. Everybody except for drug addicts. Drug addicts who are usually honest enough say, you know what? I'm in this mess because of myself. For whatever reason, they oftentimes admit it. And the other group is people who are in Bible college or starting a ministry. And they're dead poor because that's what they do. You go to Bible college, you get poor, you start a ministry, and nobody, and you're broke. And they're walking their integrity. But many people who are poor in America are the second group. Okay? And you can probably guess who that is. It's poor because of behavior. Okay? Poor because of behavior. Proverbs chapter 10. I'll give you quite a few verses and just, well, maybe ask you some questions in here. For example, the first group, the Philippians. The Philippians walked in their integrity, and it says out of their abundant poverty they gave to you. The Philippian church. So they were in their integrity, but they were in poverty. Then the second group is the poor because of their behavior. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent he maketh rich. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. God doesn't make rich. They make rich. They become rich. Slack hand is, I'm not holding this very tight. I'm kind of just slacking off. I'm kind of half going into it. I'm being careful. The slack hand. Many people who deal with a slack, careless attitude in life, they become poor. It's just an attitude of life. Boy, do I want to get in trouble already, or do I want to wait till later in the message? Who wants now? Who wants me to get in trouble later and just pile it on? Okay, well, the now's... Now and later. Listen, poor people in America, because it's their actions, usually look a certain way. Because they are slack and lazy in everything. They're lazy in how they dress. They're slack in how they cut their hair. They're slack in the way they shave. Okay, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't shave. We know all men don't shave, but some do. But some people just leave. I'm joking. And some people they don't pick a look. They just look the way they do because anything else is hard. Okay, that's why they wear their pajamas to Fred Meyer. Okay, that guy is not an investor on Wall Street. Okay, and I'm not saying sometimes people with money don't dress carelessly. They do, but I'm saying there's a way of slackness in your life. You're just, everything is easy route. Okay, and okay, I'm already in trouble. Proverbs 12 I'll wear jeans. I'll wear a t-shirt. I'm not talking about that. Okay, I'm talking about, you don't want to talk about sloppy, careless, lazy. Okay, Proverbs 12. And except for the people in the ghetto who wear $200 pair of shoes and need somebody to help them with their rent. Love that. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. The slothful man roasteth that, not that which he took in honey, but the substance of a precious man is diligent. Do you know why? You know what's strange to me? I never understand this rest of my life. You guys, I know most of you are like this, where everything you have is like so important because you don't want to buy a new one. And if you got to get rid of it, you want to sell it, even if you get $1.50 for it, you know, because everything you have is so precious and valuable, you know what I mean? And but you know what's crazy? Many times the people who are poor will take a TV because they need a new one, and they'll just throw it out in the dumpster. They won't sell it for $75 because they're lazy. And that's why they're poor. If you could understand that right now, that could take many people out of poverty because they're what they have is not precious. Did you know people I know who work hard, save their money, are wise with their money, are doing well financially, are doing very good? Did you know, strangely enough, they are more careful with their money than people who don't have any money? It's because who they are. And then you say, well, they have money to blow. They should just, you know, not worry about that stuff. Poor people oftentimes criticize people with money for the way they are so tight. And I'm not talking about people who won't give. I'm talking about people who keep their car and make sure they clean this and make sure they take good care of this and make sure this keeps going along. And listen, don't criticize for that. Their substance is precious. And by the way, the best rich people I know, I'm going to tell you this, the best rich people I know, most people don't know they're rich. Because they don't change their life a whole bunch. They'll buy a nice car eventually, but that car's still running. It's the way they live. Where a poor person, if they get money, they're going out and they're buying a Beamer right away. And then they're going to drive it for 3 years, and if they still have money, they're going to buy another one. Because the first one's trashed. You ever see the three-year-old Beamer or Cadillac that the wrong kind of person owns, and they trash it? You know what I'm talking about? It's got these dents down the side. The hood thing is hanging down. The rearview mirror is gone. The windows are cracked. You ever see that? You know what I'm talking about, Richie? No, he's not that guy. He sells cars. And he's not your Cadillac. But it's because of. I'm not even anyway. I gotta go. I'm gonna get in so much trouble here. It's slack. It's not things not being precious. And important and careful about them. Proverbs chapter 18. You know how much money you save if you make things last? Amen. Do you know how much money you save if you can make things last? Proverbs 18. I almost got back on it. Okay, it'll be good. Proverbs 18, verse 9. He that is slothful in his work is a brother of him that is a great waster. Proverbs 21. I'm going to run to the next verse. Proverbs 21 and verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Oh, okay, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Okay, the first thing I want to say is the reason they're poor is we just saw a bunch of verses because they're lazy. Okay, that's the first thing. Not taking care of stuff is laziness. Okay, it's just lazy. It's not caring. It's slothfulness. So we read that verse a whole bunch of times. Slothful is a word for a lazy man or a lazy woman. Second thing is excuses. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. A slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Listen to me. Listen. You've got to understand this. Everybody has a reason to fail. Everybody. Okay? I can list you my reasons. If you've been to the church very long, you know all my reasons. I should be a complete failure in life. Okay? So I grew up in. Okay, fine. I have a reason. When you walk up and meet your reason to fail, whatever it is, and you're going to have a reason to fail, you say, yes, you're right. I'm going to fall down and say that's just too tough and quit. Or you punch him in the face and conquer life. But you will have a reason to say, there's a reason. I tried, but this happened. This was in my way. I tried, but I couldn't find a way. Listen, you will have a reason to not get it done. There's a reason not to get a job. There's a reason not to get ahead. There's a reason not to take your finances. There's a reason you had to spend your money. There's a reason you couldn't save. There's a reason you couldn't do this. There's a reason you had to get this assistance. There's always a reason. There's always an excuse. Okay? And they're legitimate. Okay? Some are. You just got to find a way. And please listen to me. I don't think like Americans. I understand that. I'm different. I think like people overseas. Why can someone come here from a third world country, hardly speak English, get here with 16 bucks in their pocket, and prosper? And they walk up and they hardly can fill out the application for a job. Okay? How come a Jew can be there hated and try to be wiped out and there's Jewish racism openly? I've got an article right here inside my pulpit about it. And they're the richest people in the world. Okay? You just cannot live in excuse land. If you want to fail, you can. And you'll have a good reason. I just am too selfish to fail. Okay? I don't want to say, see, I had a better reason than you and I quit. Yeah, well, I might be a loser, but at least I got a reason for being a loser. That's not what I want on my tombstone. Okay? All right, now we started in the start, and now we're in the middle, and we're still being offensive. Number three, reason bad behavior, oversleep. You got some noises with that one. Proverbs 26, let's start at verse 13. This is not the same verse that is read, but it says the same thing. A slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, there is a lion in the streets. As a door turneth upon his hinges, so doth a slothful upon his bed, back in bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom and aggrieveth him even to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render reason. That's a funny verse if you deal with a lot of poor people. And lazy people, I should say, not poor people. Poor people are not always lazy people, okay? I want to be clear about that. Except for some good poor people. Oversleep. Proverbs 24. Oversleep brings you to poverty. That's very consistent in the Bible. Verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all overgrown with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof. And this is Proverbs 24:31. The stone wall there was broken down, and I saw and considered it well and looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little fold in the hands of sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. It says, you just think you need a little more sleep, a little more sleep, a little more sleep. Just go back to bed for a little while. Okay, I got up for a little while, did a few things, ate breakfast. Okay, I'm going back to bed now. You're going to be a poor person because you're late, because you oversleep. Oversleep brings you to poverty. Okay? And have a reason to get up. Oversleep is bad for you. It's terrible. Terrible for your health. You're better off health-wise undersleeping than oversleeping. Okay? It's terrible for you. It's terrible for your back. It's terrible for your emotions. It's terrible for your brain. It's terrible to oversleep. There's something to do. If you get up and get up early and go find something to do out there, you'll find a way to success. Oversleep. Let me see that. Let's see Proverbs 6. And verse 10. And you can just get the gist of these verses. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little fold in the hands of sleep, so shall thy poverty come as quickly and powerfully. Proverbs 20, and I don't think I read this verse yet. I'm not reading the same verses, though they sound the same. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Okay, that's what it says. Next thing that brings you to poverty, next reason that poor people are the wrong people is their behavior is alcohol. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Okay, that everything I just said is there, but also talks about alcohol. Alcohol destroys it. You financially. Next thing that'll bring you to poverty is the wrong crowd. We're just talking about reasons people are in poverty. Maybe it's one reason, maybe it's something else, but these are just things that bring people to poverty. Proverbs 28 and verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. The wrong crowd. Do you know how many people, I know you probably know people, people who had so much potential, people who are on their way, people might have been doing well, and they got around the wrong crowd and started just hanging out. And pretty soon they're couch surfing because they're around the wrong crowd. So I just want to say, first of all, there's two sides of poor people, those who are poor with integrity and those who are poor because of behavior. If you just said, well, that's me, but that's not why I'm poor, you're foolish. Okay? Right? You're saying, okay, God says that's why I'm poor, but that's not true. Okay? We got to believe somebody here. You are God. Okay? I'm voting on God. That's where my money is. And so, listen, that's, you say, but that's not what happened. But that happens to people who do those things. You get unlucky, let's say it that way, when you do those things. But it's just stuff that happens. Number two, there comes much trouble with poverty. Now, Proverbs 10, and we read that verse, verse 15. Let me read it again. Now, we love poor people. We are not criticizing poor people. You can be poor because you were born in Haiti. I understand that. Saw it in July, June. So I understand that. But with trouble, there comes a lot of trouble with poverty. In our verse in Proverbs 10 and verse 15, the rich man's wealth is a strong city, but the destruction of poor is their poverty. Poverty has a whole bunch of problems. Why? Number one, why does poverty have problems? Number one, rich people take advantage of poor people. Proverbs 14. And there's a lot of verses on this, a shocking number of verses. I could take you all over the Bible. I could take you to Amos. I could take you to Isaiah. I could take you to many books of the Bible. But I'm just going to keep you in Proverbs because of time. And I got a pile of verses here that I probably won't read them all. Proverbs 14, because the Bible talks a lot about how rich people take advantage of poor people. Proverbs 14, verse 31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth, but he honoreth him that hath mercy on the poor. Okay, Proverbs, and so you can see there that there are people who are rich that take advantage of poor people. Proverbs 22 and verse 16. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Verse 20, let's see, what am I in? Let's see. I read verse 16. Let's read verse 22. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. Okay, we see that. And they're commanded not to do that. Let me go to Psalms 2. Chapter 10 and verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor, and let them be taken in devices which they have imagined. Verse 8, he sitteth in the lurking places in the villages and the secret places. He doth murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them into his net. Do you understand? There are rich people who are very rich because of poor people. You say, I don't even understand that. Let me give you two words, you'll understand it. Pawn shop. Okay, let me give you another one. Check cashing place. Okay, somebody called my third one. What was it? Rent to own. Okay, another one.
Democratic Party.
Okay, I've got a whole list of things here. I got a pawn shops, check cashing place. Somebody called my rental centers. How about interest rates? How about you have to go buy a car and you pay 22% interest because you have to have a car? 22%? 22%? Credit cards. How about insurance rates? Do you know when you get insurance now, they run your credit? Okay, and your rate is much higher because your credit. I'm not saying that's a ripoff. There's sometimes it's legitimate where it helps them know who they're giving a loan to and all that stuff. They've earned that. I get that. But I want to say this. There are people who go and rip off the poor and keep them enslaved and keep using them, and they can never get ahead because they keep going to check cashing places, and they keep going and taking their you know, the guy's a mechanic and he goes sells his Snap-on tools that are worth $1,500, the ones he has that he's got, he doesn't have to keep, and he takes them to the pawn shop and gets $250, and then later he tries to go buy them back, he doesn't have quite enough money, and eventually they get sold by the pawn shop for $800. Okay, and those guys aren't hurting. They make good chunks. Rich people take advantage of them. There's a lot of things like that. I think that there is governmental corruption, or people take checks from the government for rental things and things that the poor people get into, and they want to keep people poor because there's a lot of payoffs in there. I think it happens all throughout the political system. It happens in the Defense Department. It happens in the Welfare Department. It's all over. People, there's corruption. And rich people take advantage of poor people. These rental centers, people never do their math. It's a $400 couch. and you pay $100 a month for 20 months. You say, well, I have $100 a month. I'll have $100 at the start of the month, you know. And, you know, $100 a month isn't that much. Do your math. Think. They take advantage of it. Okay, that's what they do. The check cashing places. I took a check cashing place. He said, can you take my check? I said, I really don't want to. He said, I cannot have a checking account. And by the way, it's a problem when you can't have a checking account. Okay? He said, I can't have a checking account. I got to go down there. Any fee or any amount you'd have to come up with is better than paying that. He walks in there. He goes in. He needs $15 more. And he goes in there. And he goes and he brings out for his, now he has $115. And he had $100 and cash check for $100. And then he has $115. So he took extra money. However, he did that. And he says, you won't believe the interest rate on this thing. I said, he said, you want to see it? I said, no. He says, look, 1,500%. Because the time period you had to pay it back in. People don't do their math. It's only $15 on $100. It's $15 in a month on $100. Do your math. That is not 20% APR. You're unbelievably paying. And then they add fees on it. We don't pay. It is when you're in poverty. And listen, I have compassion on this. We help people all the time. We try to keep people out of this, and we pay utilities, and we help people with their gas, and we help when their cars broke down, and we help them with their, I get all this stuff. I just am saying it's hard being poor. You get taken advantage of. You have to live there because you cannot get into a nice apartment. And so you could be in a nice apartment for $750, and you're in a dive for $725 where your stuff gets stolen. It's just tough. I'm not criticizing the person in that situation. I'm saying there's trouble with poverty. Number two, you become a servant and you're even in bondage. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. What it says here, the rich ruleth over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. Okay, I can take you to the passages, James 2, 6, and other passages. You become the servant and you're even in bondage to those people. Number three, I knew a guy, loved a guy, great guy, loved God, spiritual, wanted to go in the mission field, wanted to serve God, excited about God. And he said, man, I can't wait to go to the mission field. And we were talking about this and that. And I said, you know, don't you have a bunch of debt? And he says, yeah. I said, how much? He says, about $6,000. What's it on? Credit card. Oh, I said, you know, you can't go to the mission field with that. He said, you don't think so? I said, no, you can't pay. You're a servant to them. You're in bondage. God can call you tomorrow. You can't go. You're in bondage. You owe that money. The Bible says the wicked borroweth and pays not again. The Bible says the wicked borrows and pays not again. God's not going to bless you ripping off that company. You cannot leave until you pay your bill. And he said, I've never realized I am a slave to a credit card company. Borrower's servant to the lender. That's the problem of poverty. Number three, you're not liked very much. Proverbs chapter 14. You say, that's mean, that's offensive. I'm just telling you what the Bible says here. And I'll explain it a little bit. Proverbs 14, verse 20. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Proverbs 19 and verse 4. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do the friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. You say, well, that's not the kind of friends I want. No, I think you're thinking of a little bit wrong. Let me tell you. I understand rich people have a lot of friends because people want their money. I don't want to be offensive. I really don't want to be offensive in this part. Do you ever have somebody who, when they call, you don't answer because you know what they want? Do you know there are people who go to our church, and I love them, I care for them, and we love them in our church, and they are the people who have problems because of their lifestyle. And did you know that whenever I ask for help for them, people in the church get angry? So you know why they're in that situation, Pastor. We've helped them so many times. You know, if you always have to get help from people, I'm not saying, you say, I've never asked for help and I'm in terrible. I'm not saying we don't like to help people. The church wants to help people. We love to help people. It's an honor. It's more blessed to give than receive. I'm just saying, if you always have to call your mom and dad and say, Mom and Dad, I need some more money, that's not a good relationship. I understand one time your car got wrecked and, you know, whatever, the person didn't have insurance and 20 things happened. I understand. You got in the hospital and you're laid up and things happen. But I'm just saying, when you're poor, do you like when some guy walks up to your car and asks for money? Do you like when a panhandler is aggressive? Okay? And it's a thing where you just have to live that way, and you're not a giver, and you're in one-way relationships. Next. And not that anybody should not like anybody and love it, but people want to help, and we should, and we love everybody. Next, there is no leverage in life. Proverbs 18 and verse 23. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. I could take a long time to explain that. I want to say that your credit score in our society opens everything to you. People treat you differently with a different credit score. Okay? Businesses treat you differently. Okay? The poor has to say, I really need this help. I remember a guy who has some financial problems. He had to get some money, and he had a nice gun. He took it to pawn shop. Pawn shop says, $100. It was a $1,200 gun. He says, $100 for it. He says, you can't treat me that way. He says, I'm your customer. He says, you know it's worth more than that. He says, you need me. And the guy says, what do I need you for? Door's right over there. Why? He didn't need him. The poor has to ask all the time. They beg for the right person's business. Try to buy a car with 450 credit and try to buy a car with 850 credit. Okay? And I'm not saying whether you should do that or not. I'm just saying understand that it changes your relationship and the way you live. And in other words, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying don't be poor. I'm saying there's hardships that come with being poor that you don't want. It's just hard. Okay? It's hard. I'm not telling you to be rich. Try to buy it. Okay, going back to no leverage in life. Try moving to a better area when you're poor. Try to move to a nice set of apartments when you have an eviction. By the way, it don't matter if you have the first and last month in your hand. If you have an eviction, you're stuck in a poor area. Okay? It's just sad. It's tough. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying that it's a tough life. It's a tough way to live. I want to say this. Poor people have tons of vices. That should not be the case. Poor people should have no vices because they have no money. That is not the case. Poor people have far more vices. I took 10 minutes and just said, all right, this is going to take me a second to find this, because it did, on the percentages of vices in poor people. You understand? And I just pulled up just a couple of them, did it, boom, 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 just came out that fast. Listen, just statistics on poor people and vices. January 2014, they did a study of 5,000 people. People who have gambling problems, problem gamblers. Out of the 5,000, they found out they were twice as likely to be from the poorest areas. Okay? These are casino goers, by the way. 11% of people in the poorest areas were problem gamblers. In the rich areas, 5%. More than double. You would think the rich people have money to go tinker around with. That's not the way it works. When you're poor, and there's a lot of reasons, it's because of who they are, it's because they're risky, it's because the reasons don't matter. It's just vices come with poor people. Go live in a poor area. I'll be in them this week. Was in them last week. We'll be in them next week. Go in a poor area. Sometimes I think if I ever get drug tested, I'm not going to pass because of what I breathe and they open the door. I mean, they say, does your church give assistance? Yes, we help people get off drugs so they have money to pay their bills. And there's an ashtray with 3,127 cigarettes. Love it. It is amazing. It is twice the percentage in those neighborhoods. And by the way, well, that's just certain areas in America. Exact same study, different number of people. London, England. London, England was not 11 and 5. It was just double. Almost exactly the same. In London, the people who are gambling are the poor people. Okay? Smoking. Smoking. Okay? There's a deep geographical divide. I'm going to read an article. This isn't one of the articles. In the affluent suburbs of Washington, only about 1 in 10 people smoke, according to analysis. If you cross over into eastern Kentucky, nearly 4 in 10 do. It's just what we do here, said Ed Smith Jr., holding a cigarette in his hand. Watch. About half of all high-income counties showed significant declines in smoking rate for women, but only 4% of poor counties did. Just skipping around. Americans with high school education or less. No, you got to follow. Americans with high school education or less make up 40% of the population. Got it? But they account for 55% of the smokers. Okay. According to the New York Times analysis on smoking and University of Minnesota, since 1997, the smoking rate for adults has fallen 27%. But among the poor, it has declined just 15%, according to analysis. And among adults living in deep poverty in the South and Midwest, the smoking rate has not changed at all. With the national smoking rate stabilized in more recent years, experts say that reaching the poor and middle-class smokers, whose problems often include alcohol and drug abuse, is critical for achieving further declines and reducing the heavy financial burden that smoking puts on the healthcare system. Here we go. Interview with somebody who's a smoker in a poor county. I'd love to quit, but I just can't. I'm too addicted, said Becky Johnson, 60, as she screwed on a gas cap, a raging station wagon. Outside Bowling's Quick Stop, a convenience store whose electric slot machine draws a crowd of smokers most afternoons. I didn't seek this article out, okay? I just found a couple prints, brought it. Asked why she smoked, she said, bored, I guess. Okay? That's all I'm saying there. Vices come with poverty. It's a hard life. Remember, the poverty of the poor is their destruction. Now, there's some good poor people who don't smoke, who don't drink, who aren't. There's some immigrants who've come here and are struggling by, and they'll live three families in one little apartment, and they'll struggle, and you know, they're working and they're trying, and they don't have any vices. I know there's some good Americans who've had hard luck and things happen, and somebody had health issues. I understand. I'm not criticizing, but I'm saying it's a hard way to live. The Bible says that. Now, last thing I want to say is there is hope. Proverbs 13. I like this point. I've never thought of this, and it's so true. And most of you will get this, because most of you, you know what I'm talking about with this stuff. let's go to Proverbs 13. There is hope for the poor who will work. I love this point. Proverbs 13, verse 23. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. Oh, listen to me. Oh, this is so important. When I talk to somebody, I'll talk to a rich person who has financial problems, and we'll help them with that. I'll talk to a poor person who has financial problems. I would much rather be in the poor person's financial situation. Way easier to dig out. This guy owns three houses, two of them are underwater. He has $600,000 in mortgages. He has a car that he bought for $45,000. It's worth $21,000. He's got to cut his expenses. Do you know what kind of losses you have to take in those situations? Very difficult. This guy over here, he owes $2,000 from parking tickets and getting his car towed and from somebody, you know, he borrowed some money at the check cashing place to go out and start a new business. The business didn't start, and he went out and then his wife got in the hospital, didn't have insurance. And so he owes the money. $3,000. Now, when he's poor, it seems insurmountable, but let me tell you, $3,000, you can make that up real quick if you just work regularly. Don't try to get rich quick, by the way. Probably will do that all the time. Get a job where you go click, and the other day you go click, and you work a lot of hours. There's a few people who need to start a business, very few. If you're in poverty, it's not when you start a business. Okay? Go out and work and say, hey, you got any overtime, boss? Time and a half is a wonderful thing. And you work 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 and you work, and regular income gets you out of debt. Inconsistent income destroys you. Because most people just spend it all up and they have a good month. In other words, there's much blessing, much food in the tillage of the poor. If they'll just go work, God loves the poor. He'll bless them and help them, but they just have to go and get out there and bust the pavement and work and plow concrete if they have to. Number two, the Lord blesses the poor with other things. Isn't this good? So if they're poor that walk in their integrity, they are really double blessed people. Proverbs chapter 2. And I got to hurry and I'll finish up. I know I got so many verses, I'm not going to get to them all. The Lord blesses poor people. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 9, it says this. I'm in Revelation 2, 9. Sorry, I won't give you time to turn there. I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. They're rich in heaven. Rich in heaven. If you're back there, turn to James. Oh, beautiful verses in James. I'm saying being poor can bring great blessings in some ways for the right people who have it because of certain reasons. Listen, here's somebody who's crippled, they can't work, and they can just skim by. You know what? God's going to bless them with other things. God is going to judge their cause, the Bible calls it. And he's going to bless them with things that other people won't get. Like James chapter 2 says in verse 15. That's not the verse I want. James chapter 2, that's a good verse. Verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Did you know people who are poor have more faith than people who are rich? God just says, I know you're struggling financially. I'm just going to make you have such strong faith. And God blesses them in a different way. If they're poor that walk in their integrity. Remember, this message has not been a criticism of the poor. It's saying you don't want to be poor because here's the hardships. But if because of your circumstance, you're just going to be poor because of whatever financial or hardship or health hardship or whatever the situation is, if you're going to be poor or for whatever reason, I mean legitimate reason, I'm talking about pretend of racism or because your mama didn't hug you enough when you were a kid or because there's no jobs. I'm talking real stuff. If you get poor, and there's nothing you can do about it, then you get a bunch of blessings as compensation from God. You get more faith. You get rich in heaven. The Lord looks out for poor people. Let me just go to Psalms and read a bunch of verses. Not a bunch, but it's several verses. I won't read all of them to you. If you're taking notes, I'll mention a few of them. Psalms 12. In other words, hey, if you're poor, it's not hopeless. You guys can get some real blessings if that's just where God's put you in life. Hey, by the way, I was poor when I was starting the church. Poor. I was poor starting this church. And you know what? God blessed in other ways. I didn't have much. My clothes were pretty chewed up and my car was pretty bad. And all that I was doing the will of God. I wasn't a bad person. I wasn't in a bunch of vices. Trust me, I didn't go to the casino. Didn't have any money to go to the casino. I could have had enough gas money to drive there. And what are you doing going to a casino when you're struggling to pay your bills? Are you nuts? Brethren. Psalm in chapter 12 and verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy, now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. We read those verses about the rich coming after the poor. God blesses and takes care of them. Psalm 34, 8, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. Psalm 35, and I'm hurrying, and verse 10. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him. Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. And I'm going to read you verses. You can write them down and turn in your own time. I don't have enough time. Psalm 68, 10, 69, 33, 107, 41, 113, 7, 140, verse 12. Okay? There's a lot of verses that said God helps the poor when they don't have anywhere else to go. They got special blessings. Number three, the Lord loves everybody, the rich and the poor. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And verse 2. It says this, the poor and the rich meet together, the Lord is the maker of them all. I do not condemn somebody for being rich. If they labor to be rich, it's wrong. That's a bad thing. If they're rich because they were just diligent and it came to them, praise the Lord. If somebody's poor, I do not condemn them. I don't. If they went and did foolish, unwise things, if they won't work, they won't eat, you know, all that stuff. But I'm just saying, you know what? God loves everybody in every financial situation. God's a maker of us all. And so we just need to say, you know what? So what's the solution? Last verse. The solution is this. The last verse I want to give you. Proverbs 30. What's the solution to this thing? Here's what I want to say, and I'm going to conclude with this. And if you don't get the conclusion, the message might not make a lot of... You won't understand everything I'm saying. The solution is this. Not being poor and not being rich. Poor brings a lot of problems. Rich brings a lot of problems. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and take the name of my God in vain. You see, God says there's disadvantages to both. You know, the best thing is work hard, pay your bills, and I can take you the verse that say, eat honey. So you should enjoy good things sometimes. Enjoy some good things. Take a nice vacation sometimes. Enjoy some nice things. All those things are good. Don't be too poor. There's hardships that come with it that are terrible, but don't be too rich. A lot of danger in that. Just, if you get by, you pay your bills, you have a few bucks in your pocket, you can stop by Starbucks and buy Pastor a Starbucks. I mean, you got enough money to do some nice things. If you got some nice things, you know what? Don't live it up in this world. Life's too short, eternity is too long. But don't go out and think you're spiritual because you're poor. Just go work, be diligent, wise with your money, don't waste it, work hard, and then, you know, have some money left over and then enjoy some things and praise God for them. That's the best spot to be in life. It's the easiest spot in life to be. It removes all of the negatives of top and bottom. Just give me food that's good for me, Lord, and I'll remember you, and I won't go steal, and I'll just be just right there. Now, I understand middle-class America is not really what they're talking about. Their middle-class America is pretty wealthy. But you know what I'm talking about. You're not starving, you're not dying, but you know, you have a decent place. That's the best place to be. You don't love the world and you just move on. That's the conclusion. All right. I made you mad at the start, I made you mad at the middle, I made you mad at three quarters, and now I'm nice. Just have enough to get by. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your word. There's a lot there, and thank you that, Lord, you give us such good instruction on this, that there's two different times of poverty. I pray nobody in Open Door would be the second kind of poverty that's because of bad actions. I pray all of us would go and be blessed and just be thankful for what we have and have enough to get by and have enough to get honey and be blessed, Lord. Thank you for what this says about this and help us to be wise and help us more than anything to think like you think about poverty and realize that if our life, because of strange circumstances or lack of skills or hardships or crazy things that happen in our life that are beyond our control, if we're poor, you're going to bless us in another way. We thank you for that graciousness, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to just think like you think in these matters. And thank you for your word teaching us these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to let you go. That was a long message, a lot of information. You got the message? You get it? Understand it? Okay, good. You're dismissed.